some Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now. That's a surprise to me as much as you. Join me now, won't you, for a full hour where we get to be together, and I'm still surprised. I can't get over being surprised that I am who I am. Oh, I'm so happy that you joined me. It's going to take me a minute to collect myself. I've dropped it. It's like I dropped a collection plate, and I got to pick up all them nickels. Oh, I'm so pleased you're here. You're wearing blue socks.
C, terrifying biker gang. C, bizarre cult ritual. C, giant insects. C, 16th century pirate mathematicians caught up in a fantastic paradox of impossible geometry.
Oh, both.
C, time-traveling nincompoops.
Love a good, peaceful morning. All coffee, no drama. Holy crap, what was that?
The sliding glass door.
Sounds like somebody ran into it.
I hope it was Hardy.
It sounded like a bird.
Yeah, but I don't see it. It must have survived.
There's a dusty outline of a very surprised bird on the glass now.
Wow, what?
Did you see that?
Yeah, a bird materialized from out of nowhere, flew into the glass, and disappeared.
I always suspected that was happening.
Jesus! We need to fix that as soon as possible.
It must be some kind of time or space doorway into somewhere else or another dimension.
Wow, genius, that's so specific. It could just be that space is warped locally and the birds aren't appearing and disappearing. It's just that the light is bent, and so we are seeing around the event.
Oh, hey, I'm no physicist, but if there was a super dense object on the back patio bending light, wouldn't things be sucked into it like a lawn chair or the planet?
Stick to lifting boxes at the big box lifting dock, Spock. In other words, stay in your lane.
Man, you are clever, Butch.
There's another less dramatic way to bend light. Because of my background in lens grinding, I can tell you that the gases we are all soaking in and through which light passes are a lens, and it bends and distorts light. Look at this glass of water I'm holding. Now, look as I place the spoon in it.
Ah, the spoon turns into a tiny person.
No, you idiot, it bends.
Look again.
Holy cow!
Get him out!
You're okay, you're okay. I fell into the pool and almost drowned.
Hardy, how did you get small and in the glass?
What glass? I fell into the swimming pool just now.
From our point of view, Butchie stuck a spoon into a glass and it turned into you, and then we pulled you out.
The bird thing is no longer the most interesting mystery. Oh, my heart is racing. I'm soaked and disoriented.
How did you fall in the pool?
I was sitting on the couch in the living room, reading the Japanese novel I Am a Cat and having a coffee, occasionally doodling complicated geometric problems on the back of a book of Albrecht Dürer woodcuts when suddenly everything gave way in all directions. It felt like the couch dropped out from under me, that the ceiling flew up like a rocket ship. The walls blew away into the horizon in less than seconds. I felt like I went from somewhere to nowhere in an instant. And then it felt like everything was pressing against me from all directions, on every end of every nerve, and it was water, I guess. And then someone pulled me out by my head, and here I am.
Oh, man, let's fix that bird thing, maybe.
How?
Oh, at the very least, we should go outside and take a look from the other side.
Good idea. Go. Let's all go.
I just see the side of the house. No birds. Looks normal.
We don't have a pool.
Yeah, we do. It's right there, Mr. Magoo.
Okay, let me put it another way. Since when do we have a pool? I fell in it. Did you?
Hey, we don't have a pool.
What's that then?
Looks like a pool. Oh, great. I'm not sweeping it or adjusting its pH with chlorine and muriatic acid or cleaning the skimmer or using it or anything.
It's a pool, but it ain't ours. Maybe Spiny dragged it over from another house. He did that with Robin and Brian's Adirondack chair.
You leave my dog out of this.
I haven't seen any birds hit the glass.
You're right. Walk towards the house.
You.
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 I'll do it.
Be careful.
Excelsior, you fathead.
And he's gone.
Hmm.
Hardy. Maybe light got bent like you said. Hardy, are you on the other side of nothing?
Maybe it is a doorway. That's so cliche.
Well, we say doorway, but maybe it's another shape. Maybe it's a mail slot into another dimension. Or a manhole. Or a cat flap.
Or a trap door.
Well, that has door in it, though.
How about an interdimensional sinkhole?
Terrifying.
That's it, then. Space has opened up like Florida limestone, and whatever was there is plunged into the abyss of another dimension.
Oh, my lord.
Well, let's put some safety tape around it and replace the window with a mattress and we're all good.
You don't think we can fix it?
Three things in a house I don't mess with myself. Electricity, water, and space-time. Rope it off, plant a hedge around it, put up a sign denying liability, and Bob's not just your uncle anymore. He married your mom, so now he's your new dad.
You have leadership skills, Mr. Spinoza.
You state the obvious.
Well, you could say thank you.
Thank you? You should be thanking me for those skills.
Oh, sorry. Right. Thanks, Butch.
You are welcome. Apology accepted.
Thought.
Oh, boy.
Where's Hardy?
Oh, yeah.
Should we help him?
You know, it's tricky helping people when they haven't asked for your help. It can be a bit condescending.
But how would he ask for that help?
I don't know, man. I don't know where he is. Maybe he could phone or spell SOS out in coconuts and gunpowder or hint at something on social media.
I think we should try and find out.
Hey, why don't you follow him in wherever he is?
I will.
All right, go. And poof. Lou, where are you? Oh, he's gone. Mixed blessing. It's my house now, but there's no one to pay the mortgage. Okay, I have to go after them, I guess. And I have to do it before people wonder why I'm saying all this out loud, even though I'm apparently alone. Here goes!
What was that?
What was what?
I thought I heard something hit the glass.
I didn't. Like a bird?
Maybe. Anyway, love a good peaceful morning. All coffee, no drama.
The miracle of birth. From the beginning, human beings have wondered, where do babies come from? It is said that before this riddle was solved, there was no one to solve it. But from countless eons of knowledge and practice, not just humans, but all living things now know from where they come. Professor Spinoza explains.
It's this simple. I stick a spoon in a glass of water and boom, a human is created in another dimension. I don't know where the spoon goes.
How does this work, Professor?
I have no idea, but that's what happens. It's like, I don't know why bass eat rubber worms, but I trust that every time I go fishing, they do, and I keep buying the bass lures that look like purple snot gummies and smell like grape, and I keep coming home with bass that I feed to the dog because none of us like it. Sue me.
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how you do it.
What?
Edit that audio for those school documentaries.
The miracle.
Oh, it's not that bad. I feel like I'm doing good. When you are part of the cause of the universe being weird and contradictory because you did something reckless with a time machine that was really Lou Register's idea, then you feel a sort of obligation to make things a little better for people who have been plunged into just such a messed up, contradictory, unjust world which they did nothing to deserve.
I love it. We all find motivation. When I'm at work lifting boxes, I think, how zen is this?
How does this work, Professor?
How so?
No reason. I just think the thought for its own sake. Then I do it again. Sometimes I change the pronunciation of the word to how when is this or how dumb is this. I try not to think about stuff too deeply, which I am told is what happens if you think about things too deeply. So maybe I already did. I have to go burn down the house 6 years ago. You want anything?
I don't know how you do it.
That's the very use of the time machine that's caused our current problems.
What current problems?
You seem to be the only person who doesn't really notice how wrong or weird and different the world is. Doesn't that seem odd?
I guess the world has to be a perfect place for somebody. I guess that person is me.
Or that things are starting to center around you.
No, I wouldn't allow that. I don't like things to center around me. Very shy. Don't want attention. Don't even want to sit at the center of a restaurant or in the center field at a ball game.
Be that as it may.
It is June, but go ahead.
Things have changed in a way that seemed to conform with your sometimes unconventional take on the world.
Don't know what that means. Pretty sure I don't have a take on things. If I accidentally have an opinion, I'm sorry, but that's just not me.
I don't know how you do it.
Is everyone gone now? Just the listeners? Hi, listeners. This is the Lou Register Show. Always has been.
The Miracle of Birth.
The Miracle of Birth. The Lou Register Show. Which is it? Oh, my friends, I am never sure which reality I'm in. That's why I always check it with the little notebook I have. And the notebook is empty because I don't want to commit to anything. I mean, let's say I'm in a certain reality. And I go to my favorite restaurant, Benny's, and I go in and I see old Juanita. And I say, Juanita, give me the best seat in the house. And she says, I don't know who you are. And so I sit down. It's a seat yourself. And I sit down, and they hand me the menu, or they used to. Now they just have one of those things you scan with your telephone. And since I don't have one, I don't eat anymore. But it used to be I'd get that menu. And I would say, I wonder what reality I'm in, because something seems just a little different. Like here, everything is the same, but when people serve you eggs, they leave the shell on. Now, I don't know what to call that world. So if I would start to number them or something, I don't know how I would, or maybe I could name them after like shell on world, but eventually that's going to get confusing. That happens when I name the shows that I record. I'll say, Friendly Wallet, Elephant Island, or something. And then a week later, I wonder what that was about. The name was specific, but I've forgotten what it was about. I was sure that it was important. I believe that if I was tasked with having to speak with someone weekly, I'm just now thinking about it, though. Isn't that fun? That'd be like getting us, I got a job as a minister of a church. I wonder what theology is. I'm going to start looking that up. I wonder how I got the job. I don't know. I interview really well. That happened to me. I got a job as a head surgeon. I don't even really know what that is. And the whole time I'm writing, I'm doing the essay, I'm spelling it sugary instead of surgery. But they didn't seem to mind. And I was hired. And then I thought, well, now I better cram. But there's no cramming for it, apparently. It takes years of preparation. Oh, my. I had to just concede defeat, and I went to them and I said, a funny thing has happened. I don't mean to be, I'm just going to come and say it. It's not that I lied during my interview, but I led you to believe that I had a medical degree and how all this experience, and I led you to believe that I worked at specific hospitals and did surgery, and that I replaced a human head successfully, and none of that happened. I'm sorry. Part of it, I think, is from a movie. I'm conflating it with something that I saw. Or one of these multiple reality things. Since I started time travel, and I'm not even sure I did, I thought I was just making it up for narrative purposes. Because if you're a lazy storyteller, there's nothing better. A lot of lazy storytelling, they don't have to do it literally anymore. And you go, it's just nonlinear. Is he flashing back? Are these memories? But I come from the school of thought where you get in a machine and it cranks up and something behind it spins. You know, it's very 19th century. When an idea originates in humankind, it comes into the world in a certain era, and then it takes maybe 100, 200 years to realize that thing, but it retains some of its earlier design, even if it's unimportant. So if the television was conceived during the American colonial period, that's why a lot of the TVs that came out in the 60s looked like colonial furniture. Has Chippendale or Aaron Burbendale, what's his name? What are the ones that made the furniture? American furniture. Has he made
this ye old television cabinet. And that's because they were thinking about TV. Like a lot of the writers back then, your Thackerays, your Hawthorns, your Longfellows, were thinking, I think my neighbor is a witch. And also, I wonder if I could look into a cabinet and see, I don't know, Niagara Falls. And then the person next to them, a pilgrim, would say, Niagara Falls, slowly I hath turned, steppeth by steppeth, incheth by incheth, etc. We all know those are American folk tales. That's how we all connect, I think, friends. You're listening to the radio. Boy, there is no greater cultural tool. And by tool, I mean, I could mean anything like a hammer or a saw or even some people call parts of your body or a person or something. Anything can be a tool. But radio is such a tool. And there's two things you got to do when you have a tool. Keep it sharp. Dip the handle in some kind of liquid rubber, and also keep it greased or oiled or sprayed down. And I like to do that with radio because it's the way that we connect. It's the way that we can relate. It is a cultural touchstone. Now, if we were all to touch the same stone repeatedly, I wonder what would happen. I remember reading as a child about the Blarney Stone in so-called Ireland. And people would go up to this castle, and there was a rock there, and you'd kiss it, say, I'm going to kiss the Blarney Stone. And you have to hang over the side, and most people plummet to their death. But if you are lucky enough to have someone who holds your ankles and doesn't let them go, you can kiss this stone, and you will be given the gift of Blarney, which is compulsive lying. So I don't know why anybody would want that necessarily, but let's say that's something that'd say, oh, I wish I had the power to lie without even thinking about it. Kiss this stone. The Richard Scarry book, Mighty World, what's it called? It's a small cartoony world or something. He depicts it as these pigs going there. And so when the pigs kiss the Blarney Stone, they look something that looks like a snout. It's a snout impression, not a lip kiss. And the snout impression, to me, to my mind, looked like half a walnut. I didn't know what was going on. So I saw this, and it took me years to think, oh, those are the pigs. They're not really kissing it. They're just jamming their nose up against it. And that's disgusting. Years of that. I'm glad there's no pig Blarney Stone. There is a chewing gum rock at the foot of Stone Mountain. So they put up Stone Mountain. They go, let's carve 100-foot racists on a mountain. That should show humankind what they are. And then they go, I got one better. There's a little rock. It's about 5 feet tall in front of Stone Mountain. Let's shove chewing gum on it for 150, 200 years. See what happens. And then you will see all sides of the monstrous human beast. It's a testimony to those things. Look at those rocks. Beautiful rocks minding their own business, standing there stately without doing anything, without causing harm. You say a rock didn't roll over on anybody, not unless it's provoked by a front-end loader or something, and say, oh, I'm going to mar it up. I'm going to carve on it. Remember that real mean guy who killed a lot of people? I'm going to carve his face on the side of the, and the rock's just got to stand there. Oh, I can't imagine. One of my pets would come over, and we're going to tattoo pictures of dogs that have eaten people on your face. No, thank you. I've turned that down so many times. They come around to my front yard wanting to do two things. They want to reseal my driveway, and they want to tattoo my face with memories from my childhood. I say no. I turn them away. I say, first of all, what you're going to do to my driveway isn't really refinishing. You're not retarring it. You're not putting fresh tarmac on it. You're doing something that is akin to painting it black. And that's really, if I get ready to sell the home and I want to do something short-sighted and selfish and greedy and say, look, oh, yes, this driveway's been resurfaced. Has it been? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not really. It's just been painted like that. So go. I don't need that. And the second thing they want to do, they say, oh, I've got some tattoo stuff in the truck along with the tar. So I think about it for a while because I say, I don't know if I'd like some kind of make my face like a face of a clock. And at each hour, some sort of significant event in my life. But I'm afraid I'm going to put too many. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to, I'll go, oh, I think there's been almost 10 significant events. And then I'll get like 5, 6, 7 in a row. And I go, oh, man, 2 o'clock was a stupid choice. That wasn't a really big event. I wish I could have my high school graduation tattooed over and put this. My book gets published there. My book, I have no book. It hasn't been published. I guess I should write it. That's what I should do. And I'm sorry, but now's a kind of a good time. Now that I'm all inspired, can you hear it? Can you hear the, I got my typewriter out. I think I'm going to start now. So I'm going to start writing a book. First thing I'm going to do is that I got to visualize. I don't know what I'm going to write. So I have to imagine that the book is finished and I'm at a book signing. Now, I don't know how many actual bookstores are around. I'm going to have to picture one, maybe a local one. They can't say no, right? I don't know. Sometimes they don't like local people because they're like, oh, we prefer people who are nationally known, but who maybe live locally, like William Shatner. I go, well, I'm no William Shatner. I'm more like other local writers. Like, do you know Sarah? Sarah who? One of them. Good friend. But okay, so I want to visualize that, and I'm there, and somebody comes up, and they go, Hardy White, thank you so much. I love your book. Oh, you're very welcome, and I'd love you to sign it. That's great. And now here's how I figure out what it was about. I ask them, I say, what did you like best about my book? And they're going to tell me now. I like the part bugs. Okay, so there's bugs in it. Part happy bugs. Well, that's a start. Okay. The very happy bug. I hope that's not too much. I don't think I have to put by Hardy White or anything. I think I'll know who it's by. All right, the very happy bug. How should I begin it? Once. Not just once, it's happened all the time. All the time, the happy bug was sitting by the, now I could be river, dock of the bay, sitting by the by. That's not specific enough. The happy bug was sitting by another happy bug, who was sitting by another happy bug, who was sitting. I could probably pad like 5, 6 pages just with that. And then at the end you go, isn't that silly? So if it's a kid's book, maybe I could get away with that. And the publisher would be like, I think you've repeated yourself. Kids love repetition. Bowling ball, all the kids are laughing now, right? Because they love repetition. So you just do something over and over again. Fall or drop the same thing repeatedly. Look, it took Sesame Street, they hired panels, they hired rooms full of psychologists to say, like, what do kids like? And they go, well, they like people falling down. Well, we don't want them to get hurt. No. Do they like counting? No, they don't. Okay, so what can we put in there? Make puppets do it? I don't even know. Look, we're psychologists. We're dealing with people got real problems. And you want to know, like, what color puppet should say letters? I don't know. Green, orange, red, blue. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm no puppeteer. I'm no art critic. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just a person on the radio with a typewriter. Bing! I'm going to put it away because now I feel distracted from what I'm doing. I feel like I'm talking to you. I should pull this out instead of my phone. At restaurants. Say, what are you doing? I go, oh, I'm answering some mail real quick. I got some mail. Like the server will say, sir, you have mail. Thank you. What's this? Hey, what's up? You busy Friday?
Hang on just a second. My busy Friday. No. What's up? Excuse me, server. Yes, I've just written it. Could you please post this for me? Put it in an envelope and put a stamp on it and make sure it's a commemorative stamp that honors a hero of mine. Who? Other famous painters or anything? Well, who do I like? Wilfred, one of them. Surrealist. Who am I thinking of? Just get any. Any stamp will be fine. Nobody I don't like, though. I don't know. No actors or anything, just in case. And then send it to this following address. First of all, who sent me the letter? Oh, it's your friend Don. Send Don this one. And then we'll be even. I should write a note say, stop mailing me. This is really, really a hassle. I don't know if people know this, but emails cost 25 cents each. I don't know how many you've sent, and they're only going to bill you every 20 years. So, whoop-boo! So be careful. A lot of people don't know that, and you're going to quite a bill. So the same with the messengers. Everyone. Expensive. I can tell you, but for $10, I can send you a book how to get out of it.
You won't even know.
You won't even know you got out of it. Like, I'll help you, and you'll just never get the bill. You go, man, heart is powerful. I don't know. I'm not powerful. I don't know more, think more, act differently than anybody else who's identical to me. It's just the same. I think we're all people down beneath, down below. I had to learn this when I became the head surgeon. I had to learn that underneath the skin, people are basically the same, except frighteningly different when you actually cut them open. You go, whoa, that's not where it's supposed to be. It's in the region. But blah, 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 vasculature? Don't get me started. You lose your way. I don't even know where I am. I've done that. I've had a body cavity open. I'm looking real closely, and I go, you know what? For a minute, I didn't even know I was in the brain or the intestines. I just zoned out. It's like when you're driving. I used to drive for... I say drive for a living is delivery. I used to deliver things nobody cared if they got. And then, zone out. You go, I don't even know what part of the city I'm in. I don't even know. One time I thought, I'm not sure who I am because I was thinking a little too deeply. And I go, do I even exist? And then a voice said, just finish the deliveries. Then we'll do this on the couch tonight. And then it won't matter. I say, good point. That's a good point. And so I begin my introspection at a certain point of the day. It's like drinking or something. I want to make sure I get everything done before I go in and question anything I'm doing. It's best. I just stay robot when I'm, most of the time. And then say, I'll get home. And that's when I'll feel like, oh, why? What's it all about? And then there's all sorts of things to numb your forget. I think that there's people, those of us, who need to come home and numb out and forget our troubles by watching a bunch of silly TV shows, are watching the product of someone's work all that day, who now needs to go home and chill out doing what? Writing TV shows? Probably not. Probably watching somebody else's. So I ask you this. If that's the case, who, in fact, had the first baby? I'm going to tell you that right now. I've got it figured out. It must have been my mother. And it doesn't mean I'm the first human being. I'm just thinking about it deeply. And she's the first person I ever remember anybody referring to being a mother or having a child or anything. I guess other people did. But, sometimes the first answer you get in life is the correct answer. With beliefs or anything. Say, I came up believing, hey, scrapple is a breakfast food. There you go, legitimate. A lot of people, they would not agree with that. And they'd say, I can't believe you even said it. People eat it? Yeah. Let me talk about breakfast things for just a minute. And all I'm going to say is two things. One is people in Cincinnati eat something called geta. And then people in Philadelphia eat something called scrapple. And I don't know if they know one another. They're not similar, really. One of them's kind of spicier. And one of them is kind of oatier.
And I only say that because I care about what people put into their bodies. Not literally. Not the food. That's up to you. I can't control what you put in, and I don't know what your budget is. Sometimes we're lucky to just have any kind of bite of food. Why, I see the crows in my neighborhood. Occasionally they become picky, but for the most part, they will eat anything. Well, not everything, but they will eat almost anything if they're hungry. If they're not hungry, no. So there you go. I don't want to tell you what to put in yourself, but I can ask you not to put this into yourself, and that is antimatter. And one of the reasons is this, because I'm not sure if that, and this is selfishly speaking, whether that will cause an explosion that will destroy or rip open the universe. So that affects me, because I have, I'm going to sound so selfish now, invested in part of this universe and various things and in other connected universes. The bubble universes are all connected like lather. So there's all these bubble universes that are stuck together and they create a lather, and that lather is floating on a sort of bathtub, and that bathtub is a sort of like, oh, I don't know, it's like intentions or things that might be or dreams. And then that bathtub is sitting in a house, which is a literal house. Now, it doesn't stand for anything. It isn't. It's just a real house. It just happens to contain a bathtub that is, ooh, I don't know, without substance, sort of symbolic. And that is what contains all these universes and everything. Outside of the house, no clue. Curiosity. We always want to know. Oh, the beings from all these little tiny bubble universes have sent probes out of the foam, out of the bathtub, out of the bathroom, into the rest of the house, the giant house that houses everything, and it's tried to go out the window or out the door, but it never quite makes it. It never quite makes it. Sometimes one of the doors will just be opening and shutting just as the probe enters, but it will be too late. And so it sits there, but finally dies before it can see beyond those walls. What's on the other side? What's on the other side of those pictures? What are they pictures of? Is this God's house? No. What are you even talking about? See how language messes everything up? Everything was fine until you said that. That is a, ooh, I don't know what anything, what you're going to call it. But it's, we're all in a big house. And that's nice. And there's enough room. Because I like it contains multiverses. And those foam bubbles are almost infinite. There's a little conjecture, is somebody taking a bath, or is the bathtub empty? Is this world empty that has the house in it? Is it like mist, you know, or is there people running around and hiding behind stuff and we just don't see them? You know, I believe, no, I don't believe this. This is something I don't believe. That's so funny. One little word, not, and I almost confused it. I believe that there are other beings that are running around my yard at night. And the reason I think that is because I'll get up in the morning and there'll be holes, not complete holes, not tunnels necessarily, but little holes dug at the base of various plants. Or things will be kind of tipped over, or I'll notice that stuff is out of place. A lot of times in my yard, because I'll test this, and so I'll go put a piece of scotch tape on a pine cone, and I'll say, I'll know if it moves because the scotch tape will come off. And sure enough, the next day, things are different. Something has been there. Is it spirits? Is it actual beings? Do they have a civilization that is just on the other side of an invisible veil? I don't know. But I like to think about these things because they don't have a job. And once I do, I'll stop thinking about them again. So I won't have to, because then I'll be preoccupied. Say, oh, Hardy, go get that. They won't even call me that. White. Yes, sir. Go get that. Go get what? You know. Don't. I'm new. Go get the rhizosaurs. I'm sorry, what? Go get the rhizosaurs. I don't know what a rhizosaur is. Oh, this is terrible. You know, I never did. I wasn't incompetent when I was in high school. I was a good student. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I'm in this job now. I feel like the biggest fool. I feel like I don't know anything. But I tell you, I was full of promise. My family always said, oh, my grandma said, oh, there's something.
That needs figuring out. Hardly figured out. Come here. Show me how to work this little portable tape recorder. Yes, I will. Meanwhile, I'll figure it out for you.
And I always did. And then say, oh, he's the clever one. And then found out my family must have been profoundly stupid. Because I went out into the world and I said, well, maybe he's not clever. I said, but I was told. Well, you were told incorrectly. I think it's not that exactly. I think sometimes that our abilities are not always recognized, or our powers or our worth is not always recognized. And I recognize that quickly. Because I was so confidently loved that I went into the world loving myself and being on the side of Hardy White. So when I began to feel like I was undeserving of some things, or I began to feel small, I reminded myself that perhaps it was the circumstance. No, as mighty as an elephant is, would not make a very good doing something that took fine motor skills. Give me a second. Being as strong an elephant as an elephant is, I believe you could teach it to do needlepoint, but you wouldn't want that. Why make your first choice something else, like a very dexterous little monkey with very fine fingers, like a little monkey or a people monkey? We are apes, after all. So get your sister-in-law to needlepoint it instead of an elephant. And I'll live by that a little bit. But that doesn't make an elephant useless. Just the way your sister-in-law couldn't do many things that an elephant could do. Maybe none of them. So it's like an elephant could kind of do your job, but you couldn't do its job at all. Right? Like the same way as an astronaut. You could totally do an astronaut's job, but they couldn't do yours. No way. So you remember that. And I'm telling you, oh, friend, let me tell you something I can do on the radio that nobody can do in real life. You don't want it. I'm going to touch you. I can touch your face. And you won't go, oh, please, I don't like that, because I'm not actually doing it. I'm just doing it sort of symbolically. And I don't even know who you are. So I'm doing it anonymously. I'm reaching my hands through to another dimension to feel them on your face and go, oh, I just want to be touched by another human being, but I haven't found any human beings that I like enough to let them touch me even like a little bit. I hear you. So I'll put my hands on your face and say, imagine that love coming through to you. And I'm it's not me healing, it's you healing you through your love. So you go, oh, I can't be there till I don't even know you. Maybe you shouldn't know you. Maybe you'd love you. Maybe you'd love you more if you didn't know you. So forget all the things you know about yourself or something. That's easy. I forget all the time. And then just, we'll just pretend we all just got here. And we'll constantly do that. So, oh no, I just got there. I heard Hardy White did some crazy things. Nope. Another guy just got here. Starting over. Always starting over. Every day. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm not convinced of the reality of yesterday. And I am not convinced of the reality of tomorrow. And I live in a tiny little bubble that seems real. A tiny little now. And sometimes I understand what's going to happen next. And so the now seems to go on. And sometimes the now is interrupted. It is violently and shockingly interrupted by something I did not predict, and the now becomes difficult, or the now becomes painful. Oh! And then it might change back, and I might forget time again. How did I get here? Where am I going? How was I born? I will never know these things, necessarily. Well, some of them I will, because my mom kept a lot of records. Here's where you were born. Here's the room I went into after I gave birth. Here's where I sat, full of regret. No regrets. My mom was like, "Honey, you're the best thing that ever happened." No, that's not true. Yes, you're best. My life, which was fine up to that point, and after you were born, it was complicated.
But, oh, you're the best thing. I wouldn't trade it for the world, even though my world would be so, so much better and easier. But, oh, once I saw you, I said, oh, look, his ears aren't deformed or something. I think that's actually what my mom said the first time. Oh, they look normal. So she had good priorities for me. And I don't think, I'm glad one of them wasn't, oh, he's going to be like a general or maybe have his own cereal company, like General Mills, or I don't know, maybe go into general aviation or something general. General, have a general store, she thought maybe. But I never did that. And I went into the world and I thought, all right, I guess I'll check the wanted ads. That's how I started my life. Isn't that funny? I think most people do go, here we go, and begin your life. All right, how should I begin it? Well, you check the want ads. All right, there you go. There, and off we go, and off the life goes. And every once in a while, you go, man, this job sucks. What should I do? And they go, well, you can check the want ads. And you go, and you check them, and you go, okay, I'm moving on. I'm going to manage one of these closed places in the mall. I'm going to get real ambitious about it. And then you go, oh, that's too much responsibility. I just want something where I just have to show up and do work. Well, you could check the want ads. And so it goes on like this until eventually you keep doing that and become chief financial officer, chief executive officer, vice president of everything, emperor of humanity, leader of the great galactical lords of tolerance and perpetualness. I'm sorry, that's how you say it. It sounds like you're halting and thinking about it, but that's the pronunciation. Oh, and things get large like that. It slows down. It takes longer to get to the end of a sentence near the edge of the universe. If you are wondering what you're listening to, well, that makes a lot of us. 100%, maybe. I'm wondering. I know that you are. I know that the very radio station that you're listening to is wondering, it's like, are we doing the right thing? But I've got them convinced that that's a ridiculous question, so they're paralyzed with indecision. I don't know. Is there even a right thing? Does Hardy belong on the radio? I don't know. What's a radio? Exactly. I have you hypnotized. Ho-ho! There is no need to master an art if you can convince people that that art does not exist, and that you are the master of nothing. And then, when they are convinced you are the master of nothing, you replace master of nothing with art. So nothing becomes art. So once again, the directions are, and I had a heck of a time finding some of these ingredients. They say, oh, it tastes better when you make your own. It doesn't, though, because you don't always have the experience. I was having a craving for choux pastry. That's what the kind of things that made a cream puffs and eclairs. A special kind of thing. I'm not going into how it makes it, but there's steps you do to make this choux pastry. And there's even one of those bags you got to squeeze it out. Like, so it's that level of fussy, you know, steps and everything. So I made the choux pastry because I had to have it, and I had to have the custard that goes in it. Now, here's the thing. I had no experience, but I had a recipe, but I had no experience making it. So you could have a radio script. I have no experience speaking on the radio and get on there, and it's not going to taste the same. It's going to be too small. You're not going to get your cream. You can't get your cream in it. And then, you know, making that cream is no walk in the cream park. Because, you know, those eggs want to turn into scrambled eggs. And so you go, oh, I'm just going to use cornstarch as a thickener. And then you make an inferior custard in your inferior choux pastry shell. And then you eat your sad little malformed cream puff. Or you lead with your heart, like Hardy White does. And you go on that radio and you say, I have made a sort of pastry every day of my life for the last 30 years. And it may not look right and it may not taste good, but it's consistent. And I make the same sort of pastry every time. And what do I fill it with?
Oh, I fill it with adventures on the high seas, where artists from the past come back and they bring their woodcuts with them, and they become pirates. And then people, little friends, a friend who owns a restaurant and pub, will hide in apple barrels and frighten the pirates. It's me, I've been here all along, they will say as they pop their head out. Page 2. I think this book that I'm writing, I don't hear the typing. That's because it's all in my head. I put the typewriter away, but that does not mean that I'm not writing all this down. I'm remembered. I memorize it. If you've seen those monologists, have you ever gone to see one? Like it's date night. You go, oh, we haven't been out in a long time. I know. I got tickets. What for? A monologist. Oh. Great. I bet. Let me take a guess. It's at the university. Yes! Okay, so a monologist comes to town. It's not at ha-ha or hee-hees. You got what? We're going to eat Alaska. What are the big, long, weird sea spiders? Alaska crab legs. We're going to eat Alaska crab legs, and there's someone coming to ha-has. Mike Poot, and he's funny. He was on one of them shows. Oh, and he had a special. But no, we're going to go see the monologist, but it's provocative. And there are laughs because, you know, with any good drama is filled with comedy. And then sometimes I laugh at the wrong parts, so that's brilliant. I don't always know what's funny. And I go, oh, it wasn't supposed to be funny. I was wondering why I was the only one laughing. Well, go to see that. But have you noticed when you see those, they've maybe got them memorized. So I don't know, is he reading or does he have that memorized? Is this a play? Is he winging it? No, he's not winging it. It's a play. Even when he stutters like that, it's all memorized, all a script. It's just that he's experienced doing it, reading it, night after night. My Dinner with Andre, improvised? Hardly. In fact, you can go read the script. Well, is that script not a transcription of the film? Is it? Like Shakespeare's quatros or whatever? Yes, they're transcriptions. What do you mean? They're not scripts. Somebody was sitting in the audience and the play went on. They wrote down what they said. Andre? No, Shakespeare. Shakespeare wrote it down. No, somebody in the audience wrote it down. Audience of what? My Dinner with Andre? No, we're talking about Shakespeare. Listen, I don't know what we're talking about. I don't know who wrote what. And I don't want to get in an argument with you. I want you to just have the courage that your heart is strange and wrong as everyone else's. Everything is confused and bizarre. Oh, you are in that world, and it is your confused, bizarre world, too. Oh, I love you because you're probably strange like me. You're probably feeling out of place, and that deserves love to me because that's a very difficult feeling sometimes. I don't like to feel alone, and I don't believe anybody does. I do. All right. I like to be alone. I hear you. But not feel. You like to be alone, but not feel alone. I'm saying it louder because a lot of the listeners can't hear you because you talk very softly and in a weird cartoon voice sometimes. I'm sorry. You don't have to apologize. I just wanted to let everybody know what you said because I think your words deserve repeating. You don't like to feel alone, but you don't mind being alone sometimes if you don't feel alone. Did I say that? You did, and I thought it was very profound.
Oh, good. I like to eat poison.
Nope. You should have stopped with what you said before. That was better, but that's okay. Not everything you say has to be genius. I know this because I've been on the radio for many years. And I would like to say this to you. Not only does everything not have to be genius, can't be, and how would you do that? I guess somebody could do it, but not on the radio stations that I've been on, because they'd move on and get paid. Oh no, what we do here and what you're listening to is something that, I may not be joking about the next thing I'm about to say. Some people think that free things are worthless. But some things are free because you cannot put a price on it because it's actually invaluable. I mean, how much does the entire worth
the Earth cost, because nobody can buy the globe, the entire world, the Earth, the planet we're on. There's no point in putting a price on it because nobody can show up from another planet and say, here, what do I write you a check for? So it's both free and worthless. That's a bad example.
See, what's something like
air. A lot of those things, you can try to put a price on them, but there's something that everybody needs. It's priceless. And I don't think that a lot of what you hear on this station or even a lot in the world that's given to you in conversation, given to you by friends over the phone, or you spend time with somebody, or all the wonderfulness that comes from our interactions, you know, that's, you know, can't put a price on that. And people try, so I'm going to pay a fancy person to have good conversation with me and entertain me and be entertaining. They can never do what a person can do for free whose heart is full. And so I come to you with a full heart. There can't be, there's nothing you could pay me to do this. If you would, I'd fail at it. Nobody would begin to pay me at it because it seems worthless. Aren't you filled with self-doubt that what you're doing may be worthless, Hardy White? I know it isn't.
Why? It's worthless to me.
That's one perspective. But I've been told it isn't.
Oh, by how many people?
Doesn't matter by how many people. It matters if there was even one. You see, something stops being worthless if it's worth something, if it helps somebody. And what you do in your life may not have a large scope. And you say, well, how many people really liked my last video? 5? And you go, that's not enough. You go, what would be enough? 50 people you don't know? 500 people you don't know? 5,000? Are you worthless because anybody likes you? That doesn't make any sense to me. And you say, well, here's a sandwich. You eat this sandwich. That's great. How many people like the sandwich? 1. And I say, eat this sandwich. How many people like that sandwich? 10,000. But they didn't all eat the sandwich. Yeah, but they like it. How would they even know? Epicurus, not the website for eating that it autocorrects to, but the philosopher, said something in Greek. And I forget what it was, but it's hard to translate. Some people say live obscurely. Live in a way where only your friends and family know you, where you're not famous. Live out, live off the, not off the grid, but off the social grid or something. Concern yourself with people you know. Don't care about being known by people that you can't know back. And I've tried to do that. Say, how do you stay Epicurean and on the radio? Say, we all combine it with other Eastern religions. In a mishmash, I got a burgoo of philosophical and religious influences stewing here. And they all combine to form an aroma. And that aroma is to reach out to the hearts and minds of other human beings and acknowledge their experiences as a living creature on this planet, and the confusion therein about how basic some of it is and how complicated and strange some of it is, how real and unreal it is at the same time, how we live in a concrete, stark, painful reality and a sort of strange dream world at the same time, how we drift back and forth between each, how we catch one another's eye, how we connect briefly, how our brains hook up and detach again, how we come in and out of reality like a firefly blinking on and off in your backyard in the summer. That's what it is, and I love being with you through that, flying around here in the backyard with you, our butts lit up by some sort of fluorescent chemical. I don't know what kind of sound is making at a bug level. I always imagine that, you know, we always want to think it's going, but it's chemical, so it could be going. Oh, look, everybody's making lights. That's what they call it. Woo, somebody make lights. And maybe they smell one another, too, because are they mating, or what are they going around doing? I hope they're just having a festival. I was at a festival in Nara. Was it Nara? In Japan. And there was where the deer, and they had out back, they had a lake, and they had on the lake, they had boats, and on the boats they had lanterns, and all the lanterns are floating around at night in the dark, just the boats and the lanterns on the dark lake, and the surface of the lake was indistinguishable from the sky, and the stars that reflected on the surface of the lake were indistinguishable from the stars in the sky, and the lanterns themselves seemed to blend in somewhere in the middle between the sky and the lake. And the people on the shore sat there, quiet, silent, even though sound would do nothing to interrupt the beautiful visual tableau that we were all taking in, but they were quiet nonetheless, and they whispered nonetheless, and they looked at the lights, and they enjoyed being with one another and saying nothing, and I saw none of their faces, and I felt all of their souls, and all of the souls of the deer, and all of the souls of the flies and the bugs that buzzed around, all of them there at that festival, all of them looking at the lights and wondering and thinking, how did I get here? Where's this go? What is this thing? But wordlessly, not like that, just the feeling that accompanies those thoughts. What is this? Where am I? Am I dreaming?
If you would like to read more about Harley White and his philosophy, please.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to, I get tired of talking softly and I want to put a little pepper sauce in there. I mean, did I scare you? I was drifting off, you fool.
I'm sorry, well, I don't, if you're driving, I don't want you to get too comfortable.
My gosh. If you're sitting at a symphony or something and they go from those really things to the loud, raucous parts, you don't get mad, do you?
No, but it is cheesy.
Yeah, it is. But I like Scheherazade is one of my favorite pieces, the Rimsky-Korsakov. It's so dramatic, and she's telling stories, you know. That's been a big influence on me. And I talk the way I talk. I know you think I'm crazy. But a lot of it is based on that Rimsky-Korsakov Scheherazade. Go and listen to it dynamically, and you tell me if I don't do those things. I try to do those things where you repeat certain phrases, and then things come in louder and with different instrumentation. Go listen. It's an interesting thing. And the reason that is because I had a story record when I was a child, and there was somebody reading like the Aladdin's 40 Thieves, and that was over that. And then, you know, Aladdin looked into the... And I would listen to that over and over again with a blanket over my head. And it got into so deep into my brain that I thought I was Aladdin for a while there briefly. Got over that. Don't feel that way anymore. I was 4. So it still affects me. And I hope that when you listen to this radio show, that you... First of all, that you immediately write the station, say, I've never heard anything like this. I think this is amazing. And I think that you should send Hardy a... I'm thinking something I want. I don't need anything. Calendar? No. Man, no. I'll tell you. Irwin sent me a calendar. He sets me up. I don't need anything. I guess I don't need anything. Save it. You don't have to write the station. Don't bother them, super busy. But when I need something, and I don't know what that's going to be, I've got my eye on a belt buckle and on eBay. And I'm not even a huge fan of this band. I'll tell you about it later. But it's just I like the design a lot. So, hey, my friends, thank you for joining me. You're listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. I'm so blessed that you joined me, and I hope you enjoyed this show, and I hope that you join me again next week. May you get through it, and may you continue to just be a human being. Do the best you can. Don't worry. Don't be too hard on yourself. I was
No, I'm glad.
So glad I'm hit.
Glad.
So glad I'm hit.
The moon.
So glad I'm
so glad.
So glad I'm hit.
Don't you do believe that I'm
here. So
yeah. So happy, Jesus, child in heaven. Yes, I am. Oh, yeah, yes, I'm Lord. Lord, every day, Lord, I'm here. Oh, yeah, Lord, I'm glad.
Number to a friend, give it to a low one, but tell them to be sincere and please do not play. Tell them this is business. If they have to play, do not call that number. Please do not even visit the spiritual workshop if you have to play. If you need help and you come into play before you get your help, don't come. Get the play out of you before you come. This is business. B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S. Business. Please do not play, my friends. Do not play. That's why you're where you're at now, because you play. When people see that you play, they play with you. But when people see that you're sincere, they got to respect you, my friend. Why? Because you demand it. You're showing them that you're not playing. And I demand that you come to me with respect and do not play. I demand that. That I demand, because I'm not going to play with you.
The Lord moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. Well, he just plants his footsteps way out on the seas, and he rides on every storm. Well, he just fixed my feet for running, and my eyes he opened wide. Well, he just fixed my tongue now. Praise God.
Yes, I'm satisfied.
I'm satisfied.
Yes, I'm satisfied.
Oh, satisfied.
Satisfied with Jesus.
Satisfied.
Satisfied with Jesus.
Well, yes, he said he would be my comfort, and he said he would be my guide. Oh, I looked at my hands, and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet, and they did too. And ever since that wonderful day, great God, my soul is satisfied.
Satisfied.
Oh, satisfied.
Satisfied with Jesus.
Satisfied.
Satisfied with Jesus.
Jesus, yes, said he would be my comfort.
Yes, he said he would be my guide.
Oh,
looked at my hands and
they looked
deep. Looked at my feet,
and
they did too.
And
every
wonderful day. Great God, my soul is satisfied, satisfied.
And the Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast, the Keynotes, Satisfied on the Weirton record label from 1955. We have dates this evening, brothers and sisters. H.B. Crum and the Golden Keys. So glad I'm here. I hope you are. They recorded that for the Atlantic record label in 1955. We are here every week. Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast on this here station, WFMU. Listener support.